The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 73, Honor Review.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
And it's been a little bit longer than I said it was going to be between episodes. I know I said last episode that we were going to have some episodes in the hiatus, but unfortunately, combination of sickness, work, and a move, which is underway right now, I couldn't do it. So I had to forego some of the planned things I was going to do to find my co-host. So I would like to announce my co-host. It's Mark.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, when it came right down to it, Mark and I are friends, and we've done a few kind of like impromptu podcasts, I guess you could say, or chats. And it's like, actually, I'll give him credit. Jason from the Walking Dead cast, he said, you should make Mark your co-host. I thought, well, he's a more successful podcaster than I am, so I think I should listen to him.
And what better way than having a Kirkman on a Walking Dead podcast?
Yeah, it's probably, well, actually, we did have a panel with Robert Kirkman on it once, but never actually had an actual Kirkman, and now we do. Well, we had, not including yourself, as you were on once before, but We have to get your ancestry.com going to figure out how distantly related you are to him.
I have to send my blood and DNA.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about the episode that we've got to talk about. It is season 8, episode 9. It's titled Honor. Now, before we get into that, though, we have a little bit of feedback that I wanted to highlight from, came in after our last episode. So here it is.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Okay. So we have some feedback from Gary. He says, hey, everyone, a very interesting thought to ponder on. Wouldn't it be funny if they really want to take The Walking Dead in a really different direction eventually, maybe due to dropping ratings, and they have an episode where Rick wakes up from his coma after the same amount of years later, and the whole series up to that point was merely him dreaming during his coma, kind of like the end of The Wizard of Oz and Invaders from Mars. Then, shortly after Rick wakes up from his coma, he notices a TV news special report come on saying, strange reports have been starting to come in about severely injured people turning aggressive and trying to bite anyone close by. And so the real Walker adventure begins. Think of how very differently they could take things, almost like a whole new series. But some of the people who Rick dreamed about, Carol, Daryl, Maggie, etc., were actually people he knew from his life before the coma, and he runs into them again under whole new circumstances at the beginning of the real outbreak. And that's from Gary. And my response is, I hate this idea. It reminds me too much of a season of Dallas, and you know that's going way back. But there was a season I know where one of the characters was in a coma, and he comes out, and everything that happened in that prior season hadn't happened. So, I hate that idea. I hate it. No offense, Gary, but anyway, what do you think?
Yeah. Oh, and you were there, and you were there, and by gosh, you were there too. It's something we all want, but the show basically is where it stands. Robert Kirkman has been debunking this theory for years. I don't think we'll get it. The show is what it is, a fictional piece of work based upon his comic book, A World Unto Itself. We are watching the life of Rick Grimes and all that he embraces in his life and tries to keep his family safe.
Yeah,
that's I don't think we're gonna see that kind of ending at all. It's probably gonna end on a weird left standing note, unlike MASH, where everybody gets to walk away from the war, but in this case, everybody keeps walking.
Yeah,
but
right.
So that's my thought. You know, it's just gonna be what it is.
Right. Well, that's kind of. Kind of what I think. I don't see them doing any kind of thing like that, because I think it would just alienate people, and I don't think that idea is a good one. No offense, Gary, but yeah, I just don't like that kind of direction. Okay, so this episode, as I already mentioned, Season 8, Episode 9, is titled Honor, and was written by Matthew Negrete and Channing Powell, and directed by Greg Nicotero. And we may move this in future episodes, but for now, we're going to keep it in the same place, because there's not that much to tell. News, ratings, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
And the reason why I say that is there was some discussion on the Facebook group that said that a lot of people would like maybe this moved. And I think once we have ratings, maybe we will move this to later on in the episode. But since we don't have any ratings yet for this week, I'll keep it there for now, because we only have two things to mention. There are actually two pretty big things, but since we haven't discussed this since this has happened, Scott M. Gimple has been quote-unquote promoted. He's chief content officer now for the Walking Dead franchise, I guess, within AMC. And he will be stepping down as showrunner for The Walking Dead at the end of Season 8. And replacing him will be co-executive producer and longtime writer on the show, Angela Kang. So, you know, I know a lot of people have been talking about Gimple should be fired. Well, technically he's not being fired, and he's also got his thumbs in the story as far as Fear the Walking Dead. So he's, I guess, executive producer now on both shows. And he's been made this like chief content officer, which also means that things like games and other properties within The Walking Dead, he will be supervising. So, and then of course, Angela Kang, who's been with the show as long as Scott M. Gimple, because she came on in Season 2, she is now being moved up to showrunner. So, Mark, what do you think about all that?
I think Angela will bring her a good game to this. She's written some fairly good episodes over the years. As far as Gimple is concerned, I just see them. They just pushed him out. They lost the showrunner from Fear. So basically, he's just being home monitor for these two shows.
Yeah.
He's just going to be overseeing how Angela is doing, and whoever, and I'm sure Gimple's going to have his hands in a toy box for Fear, and then write a couple episodes regarding that. But you know, everybody thinks of it as, oh, they promoted him. I think of it as a demotion in some way. But he has been overseeing the show for the main show for I don't know how many years, since what, season four? So
yeah, I think this is his fifth season. Sure.
Oh, so then it's season three. But
four, five, six, seven, eight. That's his fifth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's been there for a while. So he has an idea and a clue of what's going on. I think they just needed some fresh blood, and I think Angela would, you know, has a lot to do now as far as, but a different perspective, which the show could use at this point, because Gimple's been doing it for so long. Sometimes you need a fresh new thought, and especially with the ratings of where they've been over the past 2 years with the two seasons, or, you know, so far a season and what, and a half. They could do better with somebody new, and a fresh new outlook is required.
I think that it will be good for both, and especially there's this possibility that there could be more interaction between the two shows, like especially with Morgan going over. But there's been kind of a hint, and you know, I know I've mentioned this. I don't know if I mentioned it on this podcast or not, but the idea that they may want to try something like the DC shows on CW have been doing with their big, you know, yearly crossover. I could see something like that going on within the Walking Dead universe. And that would be kind of cool. I don't know how they would, you know, be able to take a community that's like in the DC area with another community that's somewhere in Texas and having them interact. Cause, you know, in the apocalypse, that might as well be a whole world away. But nevertheless, there is possibility there. And I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic of what's going to happen with the two shows. So, you know, and it certainly seems by this episode that they are steering clear of comic book story and are charting a new path, which I think was good as far as Fear the Walking Dead's concerned, because you never really knew on Fear what the story was going to bring you. And I think with this show now and the death of Carl, I think that means that, you know, there's so many things that have diverged from the comic book. I think that it's going to tell a different story as well. So anyway, I think it's all positive. So we'll see for sure. All right. Second, news item has to do with Lauren Cohan. So she has been announced as starring in a pilot on ABC titled Whiskey Cavalier. And I believe it sounds like it's a procedural, but I don't know. It's an action dramedy, they say. And I think it involves some FBI and CIA. I think she may be the CIA agent, and very different show than The Walking Dead. That doesn't mean that she's leaving the show, and that could, you know, be some hardball contract negotiation. But it doesn't leave a nice warm feeling in my heart. What do you think?
Yeah, they could do two shows at the same time. It's just based upon scheduling. So I think part of this was part of negotiation, because you don't know if a pilot will last, you know, if it go on to an actual show itself, because the pilot has to show, they have to get a go ahead. And then, once they have the go ahead, they could actually continue on, meaning that, once they do the pilot, usually they do maybe two episodes. And then once they get the go ahead, they continue filming on those other episodes. But I think it's a negotiation tactic, so that way she could get more money. But also, I'm thinking it in the perspective of the actor's mind. It's like, well, I need more money, so she could also negotiate, I could do both shows depending on filming schedule. And they could always write her as just a partial for certain episodes, and then do like certain episodes where she is a main character or a main storyline in the whole season. But that's really dependent on where this comes. We won't know definitively until probably, I'd say, come the end of the season or come just beginning of summer.
Yeah. Well, I tend to, with all the, and especially I have to think of what we just saw with Carl, being killed off. It seems like, AMC has this reputation for playing hardball with their TV stars and their producers as far as budgets and that. And you know that Norman Reedus and Andrew Lincoln's contracts have gone up quite a bit in the last two seasons. I think he has signed for season 9. From what I've seen, and I know that both of them got big contract raises for season 8. So, and I imagine Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I don't know what he makes per episode, but I imagine it's pretty high as well. So you've got, people like Chandler Riggs, they think, well, it's going to be harder and harder to explain your age. So, that there's a potential there as to why they let him go. You consider that with the salary, I could see why they did it. Someone like Lauren Cohan, who's been there since season 2, and I think she's got third billing on the show. She wants a better contract, and she should get one. But at the same time, again, they're going to play hardball. Somebody like Danai Gurira at this point, she may not get as much as she thinks she deserves, but if they still let her do the movies, right? Because eventually, the way things are stacking up right now, her career is going to catapult, with being a part of the Marvel Universe. Have you seen Black Panther yet?
Yes. I thought it was very well done. Yeah. And Danai Gurira is very, really, really extremely good on it. Anytime you see her on the in the film with all the action and everything, you just think Michonne. But she takes it to another level in that movie. So, yeah, it's really good.
That's what I've heard. I haven't seen it yet. But that is what I've heard. So, anyway, if they give her the flexibility, she may stay on just based on that. But anyway, I could see them trying to cut corners, and this, it may just be a contract negotiation. It may be something more, but hopefully I think if they get rid of, Maggie, that's a harder thing to change from the story, because it seems like so much is going to revolve around Maggie and her eventual birth, but just her, becoming more of a leader. If she's gone, I think the story will suffer. So hopefully she won't.
Yeah, I have a funny feeling they have a few things up their sleeves regarding how she could be written off. If they do a time jump, they could easily state it's 5 months from then, from the time that this season ends till the next season. And then they could state that she died during childbirth and be written off that way. And maybe we'll have a baby Herschel Ree walking around or crawling around. And then they would have to pass the baton to somebody else to lead the kingdom, and then where it will stray completely different than the comic book itself, which should be interesting, because for a while now, Gimple was using that almost as kind of a guideline. And with the season 7 premiere with being Abraham and Glenn, you know, being the victims of Lucille. That was completely different in court, considering the comic book. And I think they could actually change a few others. They never had a Daryl before in a comic. So there's a lot of things that they could do to change it, to stray away and then let the comic book be its own entity and the show be its own vessel on its own. And then same thing with Fear, because Fear, like you said before, they're moving Morgan over to that. And, you know, that is something that you can't get spoiled on completely at all, because these are original news stories. And that's what makes me love Fear a lot, because we don't know what these characters are going through or where they've been through. As soon as season 4 starts, there's going to be some sort of significant time jump and for Morgan to be there with them. So, and the way they left off season 3 on Fear, they left it off like, you know, what was it? Madison floating in the distance and everybody separated. Eventually there's going to be some sort of backstory in the new season for Fear, and then Morgan will come in and enter that story fresh and new, and it'll be a whole new adventure. These two are, you know, and like you said before, I'm hoping for a crossover, just like the CW does with Flash, Arrow, mm-hmm. Legends, and there's another one, Supergirl. Yeah, so yeah, those are all great shows, and the way they actually do cross them over is awesome. But the distance thing will be might be something to be considered.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's move on to our discussion of this episode. What did you think, Mark, of Honor?
My rating?
Yes.
I gave it 6 zombie heads.
Ooh, that's not a great score. All right.
I was in the middle.
No, okay. I liked it, but I didn't love it. So I gave it 8.5 ripped out innards. All right. We have some listener ratings. Mark, why don't you start with Mark?
All right. This is for Mark Olivier Dufoir. I give this episode a 6 out of 10 needlessly long episode. I miss the fast pace of Star Trek Discovery. Also, the DP is terrible. Way too dark for the night scenes.
That has been a problem with The Walking Dead for many seasons, it seems. I complain about this quite a bit in season 5, that things were dark, and I did find that as well with this episode. And Mark, I know, was a listener of the other podcast I do now, which is the Star Trek Discovery podcast, which I think everybody knows. But if you guys are longtime listeners of Ruthie and I, just let you know that she is now my co-host on the Star Trek Discovery podcast. And it's really nice doing the show with her again, doing something that she enjoys, because the last few seasons of The Walking Dead, I hate to say, she hasn't enjoyed very much. So it's been really good to get that rhythm back with her, and I think we've been doing quite well there. All right, well, Dieta is next. She says, still not happy about losing Carl, and several different sad, crying, yelling emojis. She says, I give this episode 8 out of 10, Morgan the Gut Digger.
Wow. This next one's from Glennis Gultz. This was an excellent episode, and I like the pacing and switching between the two and the main two-story arcs of Morgan, Carol, and Carl Rick Michonne, both ratcheting up their respective emotional conclusions. I give Season 8, Episode 9, 8.9, Killing Dilemmas, or Candy Connections, to go for a lighter episode feel, or Gutted, a stab at humor through the tears.
All right. Steve is next. He gives it a rating of 7.5 out of 10 shovels of dirt. Then he says, I was excited for this mid-season premiere and then disappointed a little.
Interesting. Kyle, 7 out of 10 quarrels.
Cheryl gives this episode an 8 out of 10 Aikido martial arts.
Laurel Willie Swink, 7.5 out of 10 dying monologues.
All right. Well, it's time for Awesome Sauce. Awesome Sauce! First, we have our listener Awesome Sauce, and first of those is from Steve. He says, I laughed out loud about all the bunny theories, quote unquote, that people said about the first vision showing Judith carrying a stuffed animal that looked like the one from Grace's crib. Was it a bunny or a bear? Loved Daryl's line about them together being Savior's worst nightmare. Loved Ezekiel surviving for now. And yeah, I guess one thing that is worth saying on that is I realized that what that girl, little girl, was Judith and not Grace. And I actually did a partial rewatch this past weekend, and I had noticed that in that first episode, the character was the credits had her listed as a 6-year-old Judith, not as like 6-year-old girl or 6-year-old Grace or something like that, Gracie. So, but I do have something else to say about that in a bit. So, but I guess we can be sure that, you know, that wasn't Grace, that was Judith, although it was a dream sequence anyway. So I guess it doesn't really matter. Mark, why don't you take the next one?
Cheryl Fox, the awesome sauce is that Carl knew how horrible it and would be for Rick or even Michonne to see Carl come back as a walker and have to kill him. To take his own life, which is still very horrible, was much more humane and on his own terms. Andrea did the same thing, and maybe Jim in the first season, which is true. I thought the same thing.
Yeah, I agree. Laura, she has in her awesome sauce, the Carol Morgan Ezekiel storyline was very compelling. I love their interactions, and I simply love King E. But Morgan. Oh, Morgan, why have you lost it again? Why can't Morgan be a badass and not a psychopath?
I thought he was a ninja.
Well, I would have to agree with that I also felt that the storyline, you know, from the kingdom was very compelling. In fact, I would even say that was my favorite part of this episode, and I found the Alexandria portions less compelling.
Yeah, the Alexandria ones was all blowing up. That's all pretty much all it was, and then all the sadness, and then everything else was in the kingdom.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree with that.
All right. Well, now it's time for our awesome sauce. What do you have?
My awesome sauce. Carol and Morgan saving the king, and it was a good tribute to Carl. And Carl's going to be missed.
Yes, he will be. I have to say that my awesome sauce was the cold open, because it filled in a lot of the blanks that were left in the previous episodes. Like, we got to see, you know, what did Carl do while he was, you know, like, we saw him gathering all the notes, and we saw what happened when the Saviors got out, and you know, stuff like that. It was actually good to see that in the cold open, so that we didn't have to wonder about those things anymore. So I enjoyed that part. So, do you have any other awesome sauce that isn't listed there?
No, that would be it.
All right. Well, now for weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
All right.
Steve Brown. Carl admitting some guilt or regret about the shooting outside the prison. I always thought it was justified. And that was Carl killing that kid outside the prison, if everybody forgets, where Herschel said, you know, had told Rick in the prison about the situation. Me and Steve actually spoke about this earlier today, and I agree. It was interesting.
Oh, you thought that what he did was justified back then?
Yeah, it's we had a long discussion about it, and you know, the thing was is that Steve had brought up the idea of why would he bring up now, and they haven't, and it's been going through Carl's mind all this time. Why didn't Carl bring this up at an earlier time, or you don't see him reflecting on it in seasons past? Because right now we're in season 8. That happened what, season 3, 4?
The end of 3.
Yeah, and it's been so long, and you would think if this is rolling around a kid's mind, you think he would reflect on it, and it would actually go back to that. But it was kind of weak in a sense that they just bring that up. But Steve felt that, you know, the killing was justifiable of what Carl did with that kid. You know, you don't know who you're coming across and things of that nature. So I agree with him. It was kind of weak in that sense.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of contrived a little bit. That, like, it seemed that he mentioned it just, it was kind of like one of those reminders of something they used to do a lot in stories, you know, prior to,
Go back so that way they could have some sort of reasoning for what's happening at the moment.
Well, yeah, but also the kind of thing where they, you know, refer to something and they're kind of being using a lot of exposition, you know, to describe it when that's something that I remembered. I didn't really need the description of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that they used to do that a lot in old TV shows because you couldn't go back and binge watch, but now you can. So, you know, it was something that I remembered. So I didn't really need Carl to explain it, but I understood why he did. Cheryl is next. She says, the episode was a little long, and I was a little disappointed that Carl didn't get to say goodbye to Enid. She doesn't even know yet. Sad.
Aww. Hmm.
That it is. I thought of that, too. They did show that he did write an Enid letter, so I'm assuming at some point soon she will get the news and she will read that letter. And, you know, it is kind of sad because, you know, I thought those two would end up together, you know, in season 15 or something.
But yeah, I think we're going to see those letters later on. It's, yeah. Slowly but surely, I just hope they don't stretch it out among several episodes. I think maybe one or two.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he had, you realized he had about at least a good 6 envelopes.
You know, luckily he had even had more than that. I don't know.
Yeah, he had a handful. That's all I knew. And I'm like, great, more reading. Larry Willie Slink. The writing of the long goodbye, it felt contrived as though the writers were speaking to the audience rather than the characters speaking to each other. And Farmer Negan? Pish. Right in your dreams.
I don't disagree with you, Laura. I can honestly say, and I'm really surprised about this, that the scenes in Alexandria didn't affect me the way that I thought they would, and I will segue right into my first week sauce at this point and say that I haven't been ashamed or, you know, I've always been honest about it. This show makes me cry, sometimes a lot. And it may be surprising to those of you that have been listening to us for a while, but I did not cry this episode. I did not shed a single tear. And I have been trying to figure out why. And I haven't figured out why exactly, except to maybe that the shock of Carl dying had already, like, I'd already processed it. So, you know, him dying wasn't much of a shock to me, I guess. That's the only thing I can think of that, because I know that it did affect me quite greatly, you know, during the mid-season finale. But for this, I actually found the scenes in the kingdom much more compelling, you know, so. And I just realized that I didn't say one of my awesome sauces. But I think, actually, I think somebody already said it. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But when Morgan ripped out the, I used it for my rating, but when Morgan ripped out the guy's intestines, I was just like, no, I literally reacted to that. I was like, no. And then I was like, whoa, he didn't just do that. And so I reacted to that, but I didn't react in really any major way to the long death. So
That was your weak sauce, right?
Yeah. The intestines were an awesome sauce. Okay. My weak sauce there was that I didn't cry.
Okay.
It didn't affect me the way that I thought it would.
Yeah. Okay.
What about you?
My weak sauce?
Your weak sauce.
None of us ever got any big cats for watching this episode.
Yeah. Well, is a big cat supposed to be like a Kit Kat?
Yeah, that's the candy bar that him and Michonne were sharing on the railroad. And then you see him handing one to Sadiq and they're sharing in the sewer.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be similar to like a Kit Kat in a sense, like I guess a wafer chocolate bar.
Yeah. All right. Well, my other weak sauce is just an observation. Why did they pick a 6-year-old Judith with very long, straight hair when they have a 2-year-old or 3-year-old or however old she's supposed to be, Judith, with very curly hair? It just doesn't seem to jive to me.
No continuity.
Exactly. I mean, the 6-year-old Judith should have curly hair, not long, straight hair.
Maybe she found a straightener and they used the generators to power it.
There you go. Do you have anything else?
No.
All right. Well, now it's time for what sauce?
What?
Because I see you have one.
That I do. My what sauce would be Rick bleeding out and sitting under the stained glass windows by the tree. Was he really bleeding that much throughout that whole time? And if so, why didn't he pass out? It's one of those questionable things. You see him at the very end. His blood is literally, and you see blood on his hands dripping down his arm. If he was bleeding out that whole time, he should have lost a lot of blood. So what is he made of?
What's he made of? Well, maybe it's somebody else's blood.
No, it was the gunshot wound to his eye, his right side, if you look at it.
Okay.
That was from the fight from the mid-season finale. I'm not sure if it was a fight or if it was a shot or if it was a stab wound. But it was definitely from Negan. And it's something to reflect in. Everybody could go back and rewatch.
Okay. Well, I don't have anything that I didn't even notice that. So I will have to go back and look. All right. Well, now it is time for feedback for this episode. So I'll play Simon again.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. Well, first we have Kyle. Kyle says, I felt this episode dragged on a bit. They could have fit it into an hour. It just felt like it was taking a long time to get to it. The wound in the side of Rick crying by the tree. Is he okay? Gee, I guess I must have missed something big there. That's two of you that now mention it. Carol is still my all-time favorite. She better be around for a long time. Just to, every time I see her, I smile. And Morgan, not stopping till he cleared, I just kept saying that when Carol and Ezekiel were telling him to stop, I was yelling at the TV, clear, clear, after every kill. He's seemingly going to be unstable when he joins the crew of fear. Overall, I'm happy to have TWD back on TV. I'm still interested on how they go forward now that Carl is no longer around. I feel everyone is on the chopping block now. Yeah, if anything, this does seem to prove is that everyone is on the chopping block.
Yeah, anybody could go at this point, but Robert's been saying that for years. He could ax Rick at this point. He could ax Michonne. I don't believe anything until I see it, because that man, I don't trust him.
Even though he's a relative.
Boom.
Lara Willie Slink. Rip, Carl. Rest in peace. They shouldn't have killed you off this way. But Chandler gave it 110%, and I wish him well.
I do, too. All right.
I'll say it. Cheryl, will Henry killing Gavin push Morgan to leave or at least check out again? Will he quit teaching because Henry, as young as he is, was out for revenge, and that wasn't why Morgan taught him? Did Henry even realize how this will affect him? Carl realized now that if Rick hadn't stopped and kept him in the confines of the prison, he really could have been a serial killer and messed him up.
Yep. Product of environment. Definitely. All right. Next is Faith. And she just has a little bit. She says, I am so sad that I will not be able to finish by deadline, but I've watched the first 20 minutes and I am loving it. I mean, it's breaking my heart, but I'm totally in it. And hopefully, Faith, you'll let us know what you thought of the rest of the episode next week.
All right. Steve Brown, I'm going to say now that I hope Rick or someone else kills Negan at the end of this season or is the premiere of 9. I understand that they may be settling up for him to spare Negan. I hope that is as big a misdirect as the Carl dreams of a brighter future.
And lastly is a few tweets from our Twitter friend, Ken from Chicago. He says, slowest, happiest death scene ever. And I think he was referring to another tweet that another podcaster was done, but he had replied to us as well. So I think that's what he was referring to, though, saying that I think I saw that the other person said something like that it was like a Wes Anderson movie, I think. Anyway. Then he says, don't turn back on the fool, kid. Eh. And then he says, Carol and Morgan team up we've been craving. Only one missing is Daryl and Michonne, and I have to respond, doesn't that mean that two are missing? but yeah, I had a similar kind of reaction to that. I thought that the Carol and Morgan team up was very devastating, and you know, we've seen Morgan be that way, and we've seen Carol be that way. And I think this was the first time we've seen both of them be that way at the same time. And of course, Morgan was a little even more brutal than Carol was.
It was very weird to see Carol say that to Morgan, because she's just as much as like he is, like you were saying. And that's, wait, what happened here? You did the same thing, Carol. Morgan's doing the same thing as you did. Now you're starting to see it, and now you're changing your light. So It's very different. So it especially when she turns around and says, "Stop, stop, stop." And he goes, "I can't stop." So, well, I'm curious to see if that makes him leave.
I don't know. I tend to think that what the kid did, what's his name again? Henry. When Henry killed Gavin, which I didn't see that coming, but I guess it kind of made sense because they were hinting at, you know, Henry's around somewhere. So, of course, he comes in at the...
at the very end.
Yeah, at the very end. So,
well, if you look at that in reflection, think about it as this. What did Carl do when they were escaping the prison and the governor's people were after them and he shoots that kid?
Right.
And Henry does this to one of the saviors. It's pretty much coming full circle again.
Yeah.
With a young kid.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I guess we can segue right into our own points, which I don't have anything written down, but there were a couple things that I thought of. Like, for example, with that, like, they had just killed, like, how many saviors between the two of them? And right at the end, you know, when, they're, you know, Morgan's getting ready to kill Gavin, then they kind of have, second thoughts about killing. It's like a little late now, you know, considering they killed practically everybody else, you know, even to the point of ripping out guts. So
true. And then, you know, there's also that of Maggie changing her ways and just shooting that one savior point blank. And they said, "Oh, you'll never do it. You'll never do it." Boom. Any questions? And then, you know, those were interesting points right there. It's, yeah, definitely with the, it's like we're on this killing spree and then hold on, stop. Let's stop right now.
Yeah. Which, you know, I had thought that he could end up, turning coat there and becoming like a, you know, much like, Dwight is, but I guess that was not in the cards for him because he wasn't even really, I'm talking about Gavin now, he wasn't really even considering that as an option. He just said that, you know, this is the cards that he's been dealt and they've been good cards or something like that. And you know, if he had as much reluctance in his heart as he had indicated, he would have maybe reconsidered and done something different, but he didn't. So, were you surprised that Sadiq was a doctor?
Yes, very much so.
So was I, although that feels very fitting, I guess. And if there were any questions about justifying, you know, what Carl did, I think they all kind of evaporate with finding out that he's a doctor. So,
well, they need one.
Yeah. And I wonder if he will deliver Maggie's baby, you know, if Dr. Carson never makes it back or, you know, whatever. But hopefully he is making it back, you know, with Gabriel. So we'll see. But yeah, on the whole, I guess I was a little disappointed by the episode. Not a lot. I mean, I liked it. You know, it was fine. If you could say that, it was good, but it didn't resonate with me as much as I had expected it to. So, you know, even when I was trying to write notes about the episode, I didn't have much that I wanted to say about it, except for, I guess, the, you know, the explanation of the, fantasy sequence. You know, I always thought that beard and that, well, not so much the beard, but the haircut didn't seem very realistic to me. looked like a bad, you know, wig. So, you know, I'm not terribly surprised. Could you ever see an Alexandria with Eugene and Negan in it.
No. not all happy go lucky and, you know, walking around like Oompa Loompas and doing chores.
Yeah.
And it's not realistic. And the whole Rick Beard thing and the hair, I'm curious to hear if any of the cast members had made fun of him on set regarding that.
Yeah, it did look kind of dorky, but do you have any other additional points you want to bring up?
Not really, no.
What about coming up with the rest of the season? Any thoughts for the last 7 episodes of the season?
Like a prediction?
A prediction or, you know, whatever. You know, there have been, you know, there was a trailer that came out with some things that didn't happen in this episode. So can talk about that or anything else.
The only thing I could think of, I would say that the show is leading toward, we saw, if you see the coming attractions, we see Rick threatening, Negan in a room. And it's a very similar room, and I believe it's the same room in Alexandria that had a prison cell that Morgan had created. And he basically is screaming, "You're going to die here." I don't think that Rick will be killing Negan. I think he'll be just putting him in that prison. Whether or not Alexandria is enough to be rebuilt, but maybe he just puts him in there and leaves him in there after a major fight. That's the only thing I could really see of coming out of this. But I think that's episodes away.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, they show these coming attractions or these trailers for future episodes, and you can't really figure out what's going to happen in the next episode based upon said trailer.
Right.
So my feeling is that's a later on event. But the walkie-talkie of him saying I'm gonna get you, and same thing with Negan responding. So I think it's gonna be like a cat and mouse thing for 2 or 3 episodes between Negan and Rick, and then it's gonna be the next episode will definitely centralize upon all the Alexandrians going to Hilltop, and then that's when you see Daryl with baby Judith in his arms, and you see Carol happy, and then she's all sad because she finds out. And I think that's when the letters get handed out to people and they get news about Carl. But yeah. Those are my thoughts. That you know, whether it happens or not, who knows?
Well, we know that Maggie sent that box with telling Negan that, you know, they have 38 others. So we know that's going to come in to play. We know that Aaron and Enid are at the Oceanside, and we figure that's going to come into play, either them coming back or them, you know, bringing them people forward or something. And we know that hopefully the end of the war is going to happen at the end of the season. So
yeah, thank you. Yay, no more war. and then we go on to another disaster.
Of course.
It's always never ending in The Walking Dead.
All right. If you don't have anything else, we will wind it down, I guess. To submit your feedback to this podcast, there are many different ways. If you want to submit text or audio, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And also there is a SpeakPipe widget, and you can leave a voicemail there, or you can call 304-837-2278. We don't always get those right away. So if you call us voicemail, just let us know that you've sent one in if you can, then that way we can, you know, ask about it and get it because it goes into a central voicemail for the whole network. So sometimes we don't get those as fast. So like I say, either get those early, in early, or use a different method to send them the feedback. Anyway, most of our feedback, though, comes in through our Facebook group, which is at facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. And if you are not a member, in tribute to Carl passing away, Carl says,
"Are you kidding me?"
Of course, Eugene says,
"Are you serious?"
Anyway, the deadline for submitting feedback is, I think we're going to keep Monday, are we not?
Monday should be fine.
It'll be Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, the Monday after the episode is aired. So, you know, be quick and get your feedback in. If you don't get it in by the deadline, send it in anyway. And if we get it in before we finish recording, we'll try to get it in. And if not, we'll cover it next episode. You can also send feedback through our email, which is walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com. Our Twitter is walkingdeadgsm. That, of course, stands for the Golden Spiral Media Network. To support us, best way to support us is to subscribe to us in the podcast app of your choice. And if you use Apple Podcasts for that, you can also help us out by giving us a rating and or a review. You can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple, and that will give you a link to all of the various podcasts within the Golden Spiral Media Network. And there are many. So and they're mostly TV. So, if you, for example, like The Blacklist or, any of the, CW shows, those are on, I shouldn't say any of the DC, CW shows, we have podcasts for those. Other ways to support the network can be found at goldenspiralmedia.com/support. Our next episode is Season 8, Episode 10, which is titled The Lost and the Plunderers, which I believe refers to the sign that's outside of Alexandria. It is written and directed by TBD. We don't know who it is written or directed by yet. The description, though, is groups unite their forces and converge upon the hilltop. Converge on the hilltop. Meanwhile, Aaron and Enid search for allies. Simon takes matters into his own hands. So, before we sign off, I'll just say, Mark, thank you for taking up the reins for co-host of this show. It's much appreciated. And you do another podcast, so why don't you tell listeners your other podcast?
If anybody wants to listen to my podcast, it's a separate one. It's called Panels to Pixels. You can find it on the Next Level Podcast Network. It could be found on iTunes as well. It's, like I said, it was called Panels to Pixels. We talk about comic books turned to movies, TV, and Netflix shows, and older shows that were around in the 70s, 80s, 90s, all the bad movies of Marvel that you like and don't like. We go over those. We have a good time doing that. Right now we're in the middle of doing Netflix Punisher. So if you want to come in and tune in, feel free. Thank you for listening.
And I mentioned it previously, but my former co-host on here, Ruthie, and I now do the Star Trek Discovery podcast. So Star Trek Discovery, just ended a couple of weeks ago. She became my co-host in the second half of the season. So, it wasn't our last episode. She hadn't, I had only hinted at that we'd be co-hosting again, but it turns out that she's now my co-host on Star Trek Discovery. That season is all done. We are going to come back probably in March with a roundtable discussion discussing all of season one. And after that, we are going to start covering selected episodes within the original series Star Trek. So if you're a fan of Kirk, Spock, and McCoy, definitely check us out. You can get to that at StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com, or if you're on the GoldenSpiralMedia.com, you can find the podcast listed there. So until next time, I'm Brian.
I'm Mark Erkman.
And this is The Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.